Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of IWA Mid-South. This is an event from December. We were kind of looking around for events on IWTV to see what it was. And one kind of stuck out to me. I was like, I have a feeling Mason probably liked this just by the name. All right, Mason, what are we reviewing this week?
The Big Ass Christmas Bash.
As soon as I mentioned it to you, you start smiling. And I was like, I guess we're reviewing that one, right? Now, I did actually look, though. I saw the name, and that made me click to see what it was. And when I looked on the card, I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely want to watch this one. So this was good. And we haven't actually done IWA Mid-South before. We've done a lot of those sort of types of shows, but I don't think we'd actually specifically done this one. And actually, when I looked this up one, I knew a lot less than I thought about it. All right, first of all then, with it being Mid-South, where is this located? Which state?
Louisiana?
I was way off as well. Indiana. I do not think of, it says Mid-South, but I don't think of it as Indiana or South at all.
Yeah.
I think we obviously, when we go up to Ohio, the top part of Indiana is the North. And I know it comes down a long way, but even so, I still don't think of it South. I didn't think it was Alabama, but I thought it was somewhere around that area, perhaps a state somewhere around that area. So yeah, I was way off on this. American Independent Professional Wrestling Promotion, based in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It was formed by Ian Rotten in 1996. I thought it was the Deep South, actually, also, when I heard the accents from the commentators. When the commentators started speaking, I was like, oh, that does kind of sound Southern to me. But hey, anyway. And the other thing that would appeal to you for this one, Mason, and we didn't know this at the time, description is professional wrestling, hardcore wrestling, strong style, and deathmatch, all things that are on your little checklist right now of things that you want to watch. So that was pretty good. We basically, I think we did our normal format of three matches that we wanted to watch. I think we actually watched a fourth one, but we didn't watch the whole event for this one. Match one was Vincent Nothing versus Calvin Tankman. And we picked this one because it was somebody that you did know. For me, I knew Calvin Tankman. You didn't, and I said, for that reason, you should probably want to watch him. And I didn't actually know who Vincent Nothing was as well. It was kind of interesting for me at the start. There was definitely boos for Vincent Nothing, and there was definitely big cheers for Calvin Tankman when he was like, welcome back. So I'm guessing he's been there before. I did have to look up Vincent Nothing because I didn't know him at all. 6'2", 225, 38 years old, and he has held some titles on the indie scene, but nothing since 2010. Some of his matches, September 2011, a three-way tag team ladder match. Faith in Nothing, that's his tag team, Christian Faith and Vincent Nothing, defeat Irish Airborne, Dave Crist and Jake Crist. And we'll be talking about one of those later. And also Q&A, which is Unknown and Virus. I guess they don't know who that was then. At the Fantasy Theater in Ohio. And I saw on Twitter, Ricky Shane Page tweeted on September 26th, 2020, will be 9 years and one day since our last tag match. Faith in Nothing is back at IWA Mid-South. They ain't ready. These kids ain't ready. No one is ready. Hashtag nothing changes. Yo, at Vincent Nothing, this is it. So, it didn't mention it in that one, but Faith in Nothing is obviously a three-person tag team. You know, it must be a bit of a faction. Ricky Shane Page is his tag team partner. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool for this. I also saw him tweet out as well, time is a flat circle. Everything that we've ever done or will ever do, we'll do again. Nothing ever changes. It's time to suffer at Ricky Shane Page. Everything's beat. So he has been out for a long time, actually. He finally came back. I tried to look on Twitter to see exactly his story when he came back. He's only been on Twitter for a short while, so I couldn't find everything. Here's some of his recent matches, though, Mason. Vincent Nothing defeated Jimmy Jacobs at IWA Mid-South Prince of Death Matches in 2020. Sounds like an event you might like, Prince of Death Matches. At Axel Rotten Memorial Hall in Connersville, Indiana. That's what I got for that first guy, so go ahead, Mason. Tell us about the match.
So Vincent ramps into Calvin twice, but Calvin doesn't move. Calvin does a drop kick to Vincent. Vincent suplexes Calvin Tankman, and by if I just talk about it, doesn't sound that cool. But Calvin probably has 150 pounds on him.
Calvin, I got it. It's 355. Well, according to MLW, 6 foot two, 355. So he's got like 130 on him, but that's still a massive amount.
Yeah. And Vincent does a belly-to-belly to Calvin. Mm-hmm. And Vincent's manager interfered, but Calvin would have won, but Vincent's manager interfered. And then Vincent won with a low blow.
He did. And one of the suplexes that you talked about, there was a T-bone suplex in there. And the belly-to-belly suplex actually threw him straight into the corner. So, like, right straight into the ring post as well. The thing that surprised me about this one is, with Calvin Tankman being a big guy, I thought this was going to be a short match. I was like, this will probably be a 5-minute match. It's going to be over pretty quick. And it wasn't, because they even announced it. 5 minutes gone. 15 minutes. I can't remember how long the match was. But they kind of announced it at different periods.
17.
Yeah, it went on for a long time, which I really was impressed by. I've been watching Calvin Tankman since he's joined MLW, and he's just been in squash matches. So I've seen him for like 90 seconds. He uses his strength, slam, pin, done. I'm the greatest, whatever. I'm going to beat everybody in MLW. Cuts a quick promo, and then next week he'll pretty much do the same. So I think I've only seen him one previous time on the Indies, so I was pleased to see him again. As I was looking on Cage Match, he's had a lot of matches, actually, that go over 15 minutes. So he's not just a big guy who can only do quick squash matches. He's actually legit and can wrestle with the best of them as well. What did I look for? Oh, Calvin on MLW, their roster page. A one-man rampage. Tankman is known to steamroll over competition using his brute force. Spectacular versatility and explosiveness to dominate his victims. A Division I recruited football player, an MMA practitioner, Tankman is a dangerous fighter that can press the action with his strength, unexpected aerial attacks, and rapid striking submissions. Intimidating opponents with his monstrous size and reputation in the ring, Tankman wows to usher in a new chapter of big men in the sport, guaranteeing to crush the competition all the way to the championship. I didn't know he was a football player, and I didn't know he was an MMA person either. I have been impressed with his moveset, though. The fact he was doing dropkicks right at the start, you don't expect a 355 guy to suddenly do a dropkick on you.
It's kind of getting more common now.
It's getting like bigger. Keith Lee, Samoa Joe. It certainly is, but it still kind of surprises you when... I think he's a little bit bigger than Samoa Joe, but yeah, it was great to see. Here's some of his matches. Robert Marta, 1 minute 14 seconds. Zenshai, 3:44. And he's actually wrestling in GCW as well. He faced KTB, which I'm mentioning mainly because we review Synergy events as well. A 10-minute match there. And he also faced Kit Osborne as well at OPW. Once again, another person that we saw at Synergy. All right, match two, the one we wanted to see the most, Mance Warner. As soon as I saw Mance Warner was on this card, I was like, oh, Mason will definitely agree to this. I'm always up for watching a Mance Warner match. Mance Warner versus Toby Farley. Now, I looked up Toby Farley because I know we talked about Mance Warner fairly recently. Farley on Twitter, hitting a hashtag MBison on Mance Warner, hashtag IWAMS, hashtag pro wrestling, hashtag Farley versus Warner, hashtag double stomp. So I actually saw a clip from this match straight away, and I was like, ooh, yeah, this definitely was kind of convinced me that this is what I want to watch. One of his trainers was Dutch Mantel. He debuted in 2003, and it says he is 33 years old. Now, Mason, I'm normally a little quicker at math than you, obviously, because I'm a math teacher. 2003... It says he's 33 years old. So when did he debut?
17 years ago.
So how old would he have been?
16.
Pretty young, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty wrong. Because we had somebody recently who talked about the fact, like, oh, we better not talk about that because I wasn't supposed to wrestle at that age. And he's wrestling at 16 years old, possibly.
That was Joey Janela.
It might even be a little bit younger than that, possibly, as well.
I think that was the Kenny Johnson documentary.
It wasn't. It was an interview that we conducted, but I'm not going to throw that person under the bus because we deliberately made sure we edited some of those clips out for that reason because it was like, oh, I don't think I'm supposed to talk about that. Yeah, I was like 33 years old in 2021 and you debuted in 2003? That's 18 years ago. He might have been 15 years old, possibly. I was like, whoa, that's a long career. Let's see what titles I saw. USACW Heavyweight Champion in 2019, IPW United States Champion in 2017, and NWA Mountain Empire Champion twice in 2016-2017. One of his other matches I saw was, oh, the IPW one. Yeah, this is, I thought this was interesting. A best of seven series. Toby Farley defeats Caleb Courageous 4-3. So an independent event, seven events in a row, had that exact match. I don't think I've ever seen that on the indies. Like the one, can you think of any other one, any other times where you've seen a best of seven? I can only think of one other case where I can think of a best of seven match. Mm-hmm. And you might not have been watching this anyway.
No.
Sheamus and Cesaro. Like before they came the bar, they were totally against each other. They had a best of, it might have been a best of five, but it was like a similar sort of thing. And it was great. I loved seeing it each week, but I don't think I've ever seen that on the indies. That's really unusual to kind of do that, but I'd like to know a little bit more about that. All right, Mason, go ahead.
So Mance slammed Toby's hand on the railing. Mance did a pop-up headbutt, but Mance kicks out of a double stomp to the back of the head, and Mance wins with the DDT.
I can't believe you're not going to talk about Toby Farley's pants.
Well, they had barbed wire on it.
They had a print that looked like Bob. They were awesome. As soon as he stepped into the ring, I was like, those are the coolest pants I think I've ever seen in wrestling. Like, for a person who's going to do a hard style match.
I got to disagree with that.
Oh, okay.
Tyler Breeze had some pretty good pants.
Who does?
Tyler Breeze.
Okay, well, I guess so. I guess the fashion police, not surprisingly, they do. But for a hardcore wrestler?
Yeah.
To have that barbed wire print on it, I thought it was really good. Now, like I said, Toby Farley has been wrestling for a long time. He just wrestles in an area that I don't know. I thought he put up a cracking match against Mance Warner. I was glued to it the whole time, enjoying it. Now, he has had some title shots recently. He had two shots at the Resolute Undisputed title in August and September. The TAPW Southern Heavyweight title when he lost to Gregory McDaniel. He also lost to Jake Crist in the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight title. And after this, that was actually at January 2nd, so that was after this event. I think it was the very next event, as far as I can tell. The reason I can't tell you for sure is, this card wasn't on Cage Match for some reason. I have no idea why. You click on IWA Mid-South, it has everything there, it does not have this event there. So I couldn't tell for sure.
It got leaked. This is a leaked event.
This is a dark event, I don't know. The other thing I did see from this one is, and it relates to the first one, Mance Warner defeated Calvin Tankman at GCW 56 Nights, which I think we also talked about in a recent one as well. 13 minutes and 28. That's a match that I want to see. I know GCW's got a few things up on IWTV, but I'd like to see Mance and Calvin go together. I think that'd be a pretty awesome match. Alright, match three, the main event. Aaron Williams versus Jake Crist. Now, leading up to this one, on November 21st, the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight title, Jake Crist actually defeated Mance Warner. So there's a lot of these people who are kind of coming through together at the same time. IWA Mid-South, Thanks for Nothing event, and also in Jeffersonville. Now, what did I find for... I forgot his name. Oh, Aaron Williams. I got Aaron Williams mixed up with... Sandwich Squad guy. Aaron... I can't remember what his name is, but I was like, I think... And then I looked at him, I was like, no, that's definitely not him.
Aaron Biggs.
Aaron Biggs, thank you. So, Aaron Williams, I had to look up because I wasn't as familiar. The IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion 7 times. Woo! The IWA Mid-South Junior Heavyweight Champion 2 times. And also the Rockstar Pro Champion in 2016. November 20th, just to give you some history, Aaron Williams and Vincent Nothing defeated Jake Crist and Kevin, I'm not sure if it's Geyser or Geezer, I never remember that anymore, G-I-Z-A? How do you pronounce those pyramids?
I don't know.
I'm not sure if one's the English and one's the American, I don't remember how to pronounce that anymore. That was at the IWA Mid-South Happy Holidays match. They have some good names, IWA South. I like them. He has 920 matches on Cage Match. That's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
And you know, and I just said they didn't even include this one. So who knows how many other... He might have had 1,000 matches. When I research indie wrestlers, I don't see anything close to that number. I had to scroll a long way back to try and find some of it. So he's definitely been another person who's been wrestling for a long time, but just in an area we don't know, so
What's
we weren't familiar with him.
What's Hot Sauce's name?
Tracy Williams.
Oh, Tracy.
Oh, that's why you said hot. When you said hot sauce, I was like, no, that's Tracy. And I didn't even think it was Williams at the same time. All right, go ahead. Talk about this one.
Jake hit Aaron with a crutch and it broke. Aaron puts the broken crutch in Aaron's eye.
But
it wasn't actually.
It wasn't, but even so, it's like, nah, I don't like fingers being bent, but I'd like things in eyes even less.
Superplexed by Jake, and Jake won with a cutter in the chair.
Uh-huh. I looked up Jake just to try and see for him what things he's got. The JCW Tag Team Champion 5 times, the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion 2 times, and also the IWA Mid-South Junior Heavyweight Champion 2 times. I was kind of interested to look for him as a singles person, because I tend to think of him more as a tag team wrestler, particularly when he was on Impact Wrestling as well. So I was kind of curious just to see what other things that he had. After that, I think I already mentioned this one. Jake Chris defeated Toby Farley on January 2nd. And I would like to know this one as well, Mason. Fans bring the presents. Jake Chris defeats Chet Ripley in the AWR Christmas Clash. All right, what do you think that is then?
Mystery weapons.
But it says presents.
I know, there's a weapon inside.
Oh, so you think it's a weapon inside a box?
Yeah.
All right, should I tell you what I thought it was, possibly? What? I was thinking it might be like a kendo stick wrapped in tinsel. I'm trying to think of some other things that you could have. A Christmas tree that's got tacks attached to it. I don't know. I want to see that, though. I'm not sure who AWR is, but yeah, that's certainly one that I would like to check out to find a little bit more. Anything else for this one?
No.
This is your last one, as before you're a teenager. I think we might actually record one technically before you are, but release it. But certainly the last one we'll release. Jackson is going to be delighted about this episode. Do you know why?
Why?
I haven't looked, but you have probably said the least you've ever said on any of this one. When we finished recording last night for the JGB Superstars, it was 29 minutes. And he asked me, how long does Mason's podcast go? And I said, probably about 30 to 40 minutes, the last few ones that we've done. And he said, can we keep going? Because I want it to be longer. And I was like, we don't have anything else to say.
Yeah.
So I haven't looked at the time, but you're going to add it a lot.
If you're listening right now, probably listen for another 2 minutes and the rest will just be music. Okay.
You're going to add in a little bit. All right, moment of truth. Let's have a look. 16 minutes. This is the shortest edition of MGB.
Well, but we didn't watch any of the other matches. That's probably why.
Well, let me add in a little bit more. You're responsible for describing this. How about talking about what happened before the main event started?
So I think it was Gary J. Oh,
that's not in your notes there. Oh, yeah. Gary J. That's a big independent wrestler, right?
I would have
mentioned Gary J. somewhere.
The only way I know him is because he ripped open a warhorse's mouth.
Uh-huh, but we know who Gary J. is. So tell me more. Why? I didn't mention Gary J. at all. So how did Gary J. feature in this match?
He stole a contract thing.
Mm-hmm. So what was the contract for?
A match, a title match.
Uh-huh. How did they find out that he'd stolen the contract?
He opened up the briefcase.
Oh, there was a briefcase. So kind of like a Money in the Bank scenario then, right?
Yeah.
Huh. I would have thought that would have mentioned, you would have mentioned that one. I would have thought that would have been kind of important. Okay, so how did they resolve this issue then? There obviously was a match because we talked about the match. So what happened?
There was a bunch of fighting and punching.
There was between...
Between Gary J and Jake Crist and Toby Fart? No, Vincent Nothing.
Ah, so Vincent Nothing from earlier came out. And I think if I remember correctly, they kind of forced him to tell them, hey, where did you put the contract? So they managed to find the contract and then they could actually get on with the match. But I think we could have got a few more minutes out of this one.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have more for the Mance Warner match. Perhaps it was one of those, again, where you were having so much fun watching it that you didn't manage to write anything?
I was kind of disappointed.
You were?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
No, because it didn't cut. It wasn't a normal Mance Warner match.
Oh, you wanted more blood?
I wanted some blood, or not some blood.
There was blood.
There was? I didn't see any. I wanted to see a chair or a
You wanted to see the Crimson Mask? You wanted to see blood rushing down his
no,
face?
No, I wanted
like
to see a chair or something.
I thought they used the chair on the outside.
No.
They didn't use any weapons?
No, there was not one weapon, except for a slam to the hand on a railing.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw
That's
them get the chair.
That's why I was a little disappointed.
No, I'm wondering.
The chair is the next match.
I'm wondering if it was... Oh, you're right, you're right. Yes, you're right. I thought there was one other thing in this, and I'm... The unfortunate thing is, we're recording this about 6 days after we watched it, after me asking you, hey, can we record tomorrow so I don't forget? I seem to remember somebody walking around the outside, looking at somebody who appeared to be in the crowd, and throwing them over the top rail into the arena. So, I think that was one of the managers, wasn't it?
No. Gary J's friend.
Uh-huh.
Who had the briefcase.
Ah. See, I thought that would have got a mention as well. I thought that was pretty cool. Because to begin with, it just looked like a fan. And it looked like he was talking trash to the fan. obviously it's a character that if you watch IWA regularly, I'm assuming you know who it is. As we didn't know who it was, I just assumed it was a fan who was like pointing fingers and like, ah, you suck or whatever. And then suddenly he grabs hold of him and I was like, okay, how's he going to get out of this? And he didn't. He threw him straight into the arena. I think Jay would have loved watching that with us.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been pretty funny. All right, so I guess that's it then. I think we might have made it to 20 minutes, but I'm going to call the winner for this week the JGB Wrestling Podcast.
On to the 15 minutes of music.
We'll see how that goes. You might be able to put a little promo in, possibly.
Like what?
I got plenty of promos. We got all the people we've talked to who've given us bumps.
I guess so. I'll just put every single bump.
This could be a very interesting episode.
I don't know. I'll figure out how to edit something.
I think all the clips add up to about 2 minutes. So you're going to you got about 7 minutes to fill. So this will be really interesting. All right, we're done. Boom.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/